Well, thank you for coming to church this morning. Amen. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, to gather together to worship God, to gather together to worship Him, to worship Him. I want you to turn, if you would. I want to read some scripture to you, and then I'm going to divert back to it later on. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, talking about the great invitation. Look at verse 28, starting there. It says this. It says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The first part of that says, "Come unto me." Come unto me. Now I want you to turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 14. And we're going to come back to this, but I wanted to read it to get us to thinking about it. Judges chapter 14. As the scriptures I just read, the Lord is saying, come unto him. That means he's calling each and every one. He's calling the unsaved to come to him, and he's calling the saved to come to him. But I want you to look at Judges chapter 14. I want to relay, it's Judges 13. Judges 13. Verse 24 and 25. Judges 13, 24 and 25. I want to relay a story to you. And after we start to read again, say, oh, yeah, I know that story. But it's going to tie into the scriptures that we just read, talking about come unto me. Come unto me. Sometimes, we get to a place where we've gotten saved. The Lord's moving in our lives, and sometimes we may drift away a little bit. And all that time that we're drifting a little bit, the Lord is always by the Holy Spirit saying, come unto me. Even if we're as close as we could be with the Lord, he's always saying, come unto me. He's always calling for his children. He's always calling for the unsaved to come unto him. So that scripture that we just read in Matthew, that's for the whole world. The whole world to know that our Savior is calling people to him, saying, come, come, don't run from me. Come to me. And I want to read, look at verse 24 and 25. And it says this, "And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." Now here we see Samson was born. And I know we know the story about Samson, and we're going to read some of those things about Samson. But as Samson, he was born, he was in that area. Well, it was the Philistines that had come, and they had conquered Israel, or conquered God's people. And really, God's people were slaves to them. But even in the midst of slavery and in bondage, God will always raise up a man or a woman for his people. Always. When the people call out to him, God always raises up a man or a woman to bring some kind of deliverance, the channel to flow through, a deliverer of some kind to help his people, even though they go away from him. Because every time Israel disobeyed God, they got into slavery. And they were in bondage. And horrible things happened to them. But yet, even in those horrible times, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the power of God would come upon that people, those people. Because you see, God knew that through that certain people, that the Savior of the world would come. He had chosen them. And the Savior of the world, which is Jesus, would change the world forever and would redeem God's people back to him, all of humanity. So here we see Samson was born. God brought him in. And the power and the presence of God was upon Samson. It says in that second verse that the Spirit of God would come upon him at a young age, people. At a young age. And we know that he took upon himself certain vows, Nazarite vow and certain things like that. And the power of God was upon him because God was raising him up to be a deliverer, just like Moses, to bring deliverance to his people. We don't realize that the power of God, the Spirit of God that lives in us, is not for us, but is to do the work that God has placed within each and every one of us to do, so the glory and the power of God can be upon the earth, so the people can see the majesty and the power of our God. So God can move at will, but he only uses people to do it. It says this in Judges chapter 16, if you turn just a few pages, look at verse 4. Before I read that, he's talking about his future wife, Delilah. As Christians, we should only marry born-again Christians. Okay? Because it will lead you to trouble. You can see it with Samson. And I know, oh Lord, the devil will dangle the most handsome man in front of you. Or the most beautiful girl in front of you. But I tell you what, you run if they're not saved. You run if they don't know God. And when I say saved, I mean born again, you know, because everybody's a Christian in America. I mean, you talk to anybody just about. Well, they all Christians, but there's the difference between born again Christian and being a Christian in a religion. Total difference. And here we see Samson in verse 4 of chapter 16. It says, and it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Zorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give you every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray you, wherein your great strength lies, and wherewith you might be bound to afflict you. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he broke the width with a thread of tow. It is broken when it touches the far, so his strength was not known. Here we see God had given Samson strength. If you read back of there before you get to this, you'll see that Samson was not a Philistine. Okay. The Philistines had held the Israelites in bondage, did not like Samson. Because on one occasion, Samson had killed 1,000 men by himself. Because the power and the strength of God, he had unusual strength and power upon him. And he would go and he killed 30 at one time by himself. And he didn't have a gun to do it either. He killed him with his hands. He killed, you know, a lion. He killed all kinds of things. He killed 1,000 men with his hands. Killed them. So the Philistines feared him. But Samson, instead of waiting for the one that God wanted him to have for a wife, he told his mother and father, you can read before that, go and get this girl. And he's talking about Delilah, because she pleases me. And they said, well, but this is not of our tribe, of our people. He said, I want her. And because of her, she brought him low to the bottom of the earth. See, we got to be careful with the things that we desire as human beings. Because you see, it says that our hearts are deceitful above all things. You hear people say, well, I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going, oh, my Lord, don't follow your heart. It's deceitful. Because it's a human heart. And that means their intuition, what they have on the inside. What we do is we follow the Holy Spirit, which is God that lives in us. That's the difference. And so he took her as his wife. And the Philistines came to her, and she was not loyal to him at all. She married him. And they came to her and they said, look, we'll give you X amount of money, silver, if you find out what makes him strong. And she tried with everything within her to find out what made her husband strong. Because you see, inside of her heart was a hatred towards him too. And finally, after time, after time, after time, of her begging and crying and trying to find out from him what it was, he became weak and he told her. He said, if a razor touches my head as far as cutting off his hair, I will lose my strength and I will not be able to do what the Lord wants me to do, if you want to put it that way. And so she had him come and lay his head on her lap. And there was other things she did before that. But she had someone come in and they cut off the locks of his hair. You might say, well, you know, just long hair made him strong. But you see, he took a vow unto God, which was a Nazarite vow. Which was, one thing was to never cut your hair. And so the power of God would come upon him. Supernatural strength to kill 1,000 people at one time, just kill them, to kill 30 men at one time, to kill lions with your bare hands. I mean, just massive, massive. But God had chosen him. And you see, even though God may give us gifts and abilities, and he tries to steer us in a way that we will use it for his glory and his honor, sometimes as human beings, we use it not for his glory and for his honor. And yet he still doesn't take it back for the most part. He had strength. But then when he laid down his head and she had someone come in to cut it off, and all those locks of hair, his head, he was shaved. They cut off the locks and they shaved his head. And all of a sudden she said, the Philistines are here. And he rose up to fight, not realizing that his strength was gone. We got to protect as a church, as individual beings, we got to protect the Holy Spirit, the power of God in us. We have to do everything we can to strengthen what God is doing on the inside of each and every one of us. We should never allow, if at all possible, things to come in from the outside to dilute the power of God that is in us and with us as a church. We have to protect, because you see, the enemy is out there trying to take the strength of the church away from it. And when the church has no more strength, it lays prey to anything and everything that wants to come in. And so we got to protect what God has put in us. You might say, well, how can I protect it? And really, that's something that I say we need to protect it, but in a way, we can't. The only thing we can do to protect it is to keep our faith in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross, and the Spirit of God is forever working. Because you see, it's at the cross that victory was won. It's at the cross where the power of God moved. It's at the cross where victory was won for all of humanity to the end of time. It's there. And so he got up not knowing that the power of God, the one that gave him strength, it wasn't there anymore. But he got up like it was. Didn't realize it. And was ready to fight and tried to fight. And all of a sudden he found himself bound up. Bound up, bound up. You see, it's the Spirit of the Lord. As we take time with him, it's the Spirit of the Lord that comes over a human being and works on the inside of us. It's the Spirit of the Lord, as we take time with him, that gives us strength and power and anointing and direction. It's the power of God. And here we see, they took him. The one God had anointed, the power of God upon him. And they brought him to a place to grind grain. It was like they used him as an old mule or old horse. See, that's what sin will do to us. It will bring us lower than we want to go, and it will destroy what God is doing on the inside, people. And here we see they took this man full of strength from God. And, you know, from pictures I have seen, you know, they don't know. I mean, you know, they don't know if he was a big man or what or whatever. But anyway, the power of God was upon him. They took him to that place after they did one thing to him. They took his, plucked his eyes out. That's interesting. They took his eyes out. My God. They wanted to destroy him because they had lost to him for so long and they hated what was happening in his life. The power upon him. That they gouged out his eyes and they put him grinding grain at like an old mule or horse is going round and round. Round and round. I wonder, it doesn't say, but I wonder how he felt. going from the mighty Samson that killed 1,000 men, 30 men at one time. I mean, lions. And I mean, he did miraculous things under the power and the presence of God. Now to a place where he's going in a circle from sun up to sundown and can't see. Blind. Well, you say blind, you just can't see at all. They've taken it out. I wonder how he felt walking around and around. You might say, well, you know, I wonder how he felt. But I know this. I know he must have prayed and said, Lord, help me. Going back to Matthew chapter 11, it says, come unto me. You see, Samson had gotten to a place where he ignored the advice of his parents in marrying someone that wasn't godly. And in doing that, he ignored probably the things that God had spoken to him also. But God was trying to get his attention, because you see, Samson was a soul, and God will do everything he can for a soul. Because you see, once we end life here upon the earth and we close our eyes, we step into the supernatural of some kind, either in heaven or hell. And he knew Samson, the direction that he was going, the evil that had happened to him, what was happening, his desires and what was going on, even though the power of God was upon him, that his heart was basically kind of far from God. And God kept trying to draw him. And Delilah kept trying to pull him to tell the secret. To tell the secret. And she did everything she could. And that's what the devil will do. He'll do everything he can to discourage God's people. Because you see, we do live where we see things with the natural eye. But God wants us to get to a place where we no longer spiritually see out of these eyes, but we see out of the eye of God. What does God see? What does God see? How does God look at the situation that is happening in your life today? What does God say about that thing that's going on in your heart and in your life today? What does God say about it? What does the Word of God say? You see, we need to see things the way God sees things. How he looks at those things. And when we do that, we start to think like God. And look, not that we are God at all. God lives in us. But we start to think like him. We start to see things like him. We start to believe like him. We start to see what he sees. And we get excited about what God is doing. We don't look at the natural things, but we look at the spiritual things of the power and the presence of God that is moving upon a people and changing hearts and changing lives. He walked around that meal. Doesn't say how long, but he walked around and around from sunup to sundown. They treated him like nothing but an animal. That's what the world will do, people. That's what the world will do. God puts value on life from the beginning to the end. Value. The world doesn't. From abortion to killings. From the beginning to the end. Euthanasia with the elderly. That's a sad thing, people. It's sad all over. Because you see, one day, the young will be old. It's coming. But God values the young very important to him. God values the middle age very important to him. And God values the aged very important to him. Christianity is the only one that does that. Because we serve a God that has brought life into the world. And he is life. and we are made in the image of our God. Spirit, soul, and body. And so here we see Samson at that place going around and around people. The devil will do whatever he can to destroy the humanity. Destroy boys and girls, men and women, whatever he can do. And at that time, they were having this big celebration to Dagon, their god. And man, they started drinking and got all messed up. Thousands and thousands of people in there. And all of a sudden, the uproar came up. Bring Samson out. And he will bow to the god of Dagon. They didn't realize that Samson, as he was going round and round, yes, physically, he had been destroyed with his eyes. And physically, his strength was gone. They had cut off his hair. But days, months, I don't know, might be even be years, who knows. He kept going around, and I know he was talking to the God of Israel, saying, help me. I wonder how his parents felt. They couldn't do anything about it, but I'm sure they prayed and said, God, do something. See, parents, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Keep on knocking on those doors of heaven. It may seem like brass, but that's what the devil's trying to tell you. You just keep on knocking, and you keep on petitioning for your family. And all of a sudden, they said, take him, bring him. We want to show him off what our God Dagon has done to his God. They made a mistake. They had this little boy. And they could have gotten two men, soldiers, to bring him out, huh? Couldn't they? I mean, but they took this little boy, little lad. He went, got him. And he had to bring him because he was blind. He could not see. And when they brought him out, the place went up in a roar. What they were doing, they were praising their God, Dagon. But we will praise our God, Jehovah. The great is our God. And as they brought him out, he turned to the little lad and he said, please, bring me to the place of the pillars of this place. The lad didn't know what was happening. Well, he said, okay. I mean, they did everything they were supposed to do. And they brought him. And he put his hands upon the pillars of that building. They didn't realize, they didn't see that as time was going on, his hair was starting to grow back. The anointing, the Spirit of God was back upon him. See, that's the kind of God we serve. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase, and he put his hands on the pillars. And he said, Lord, one more time. You see, he called him Lord. That's how we know his heart was changed. He called him Lord. And he put his hands on those pillars and he started to push. And he pushed so far that the building came crashing down and killed everybody in there, including Samson. It says that his mother and his father came and they took him and buried him. You see how God moves upon any and everyone? Going back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Says this. Let's read it again. It says, come unto me. We should always realize that God will never reject anybody. That's not in him. He won't reject. If anybody comes after him, and you might say, look at Samson. I wanted to lay that foundation of Samson, that when he called upon God again, God helped him. People, you might say, Pastor, I've called upon God and I've messed up and I've done this and I've done. Hey, look, call upon him again. Come unto him. Come unto him again, and you will see what God can do. You will see how God can change a situation around. You will see what God can do upon other people's lives because you're petitioning him before the Father and asking the Father to move. And he's letting the Holy Spirit come and do his will. Come upon me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, sometimes the church puts so much pressure upon an individual to perform, to do this or do that, that they get so burdened down with things upon their lives. Burdened down, and we can get burdened down with family and friends and, you know, just getting work and all. I mean, it can happen. But God says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look, he will give us the rest we need. The peace and the power that we need to keep on going. He's like one who refreshes on the inside. And when the inside is refreshed by the Holy Spirit, the power of God moves. The body has to do something. The body is rejuvenated. The power and the presence of God upon it. And God uses that individual to get the work done. He wants to bring rest and peace to our souls. We have to call out to him. If you're heavy laden this morning, you're heavy burdened. I mean, it's like, oh God. But God's saying, I will give you rest. All we got to do is come unto him. Saying, Lord, I'm going to you. It's yours, Father. I give it to you. You know, let him take it. Let him solve it. Let him do whatever he wants to do with it. Because you see, the devil will try to keep us so heavy laden that we start to walk like this spiritually. That the weight of things upon our lives weigh us down. And we can't do what God wants us to do. What we need to do is take those things off and give it to him. And let him take it and let him solve it however he wants to solve it. This is the deal. We pray and then we want to tell God what to do. We can't do that. I can't pray about something and say, now, Lord, this is what you have, this is what you do. But you, well, we want our family saved, and we all want our families saved. But we want to tell God how to do it. Lord, bring this person to him. Do this, Lord God. Let him hit low here. And no. Always remember this. When you're praying, you give it to him. When you give somebody something, it is not yours anymore. Okay? And if we try to take something back that we've given to somebody, what do they call us? Indian givers. Can't do it. That's not right. So when you give, come unto him, you give it to him just as Samson gave him all his mistakes. And he said, Lord, just one more time. And God granted it unto him. And so we give it to him. He takes it. Because he says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is what? Light. His yoke is easy, people. It's easy. We make it difficult sometimes. We make it, so we have to say, okay, Lord, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, show me what to do. Help me, Lord God, in this area. Because he's saying, come in. So we give it to him. We give it to him, and then we lay back. Now, the Holy Spirit will start to work and say, okay, now this is what you need to do. You say, okay, Lord, Okay. Because you have to remember, every time the Spirit of God says something for us to do or to believe in a certain way, it's always successful. Not 90%, not 85%, not 50%, not 99 and one half and one quarter percent. It's always successful. And the Holy Spirit will only go according to the Word of God. Okay? It will not go against it. Alrighty? So if you sense something in your spirit and it's against what the Bible says, don't do it. Because that's not God. That's okay. We all miss it sometimes. You go back and say, Lord, I don't know. I think I didn't hear right. He says, you're right. Okay. But come unto him. Give him those things that weigh you down. Give him those things and let him handle it. And he will give you wisdom. He will show you what to do, how to do it. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Look at this. It says, take my yoke upon you, verse 29, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you know that's the only thing he says about himself. He's meek and lowly. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's an amazing thing, he says. You will find rest for your souls. Our souls on the inside. The part that got saved, our souls. You will find rest. Because his burden is easy. Easy, easy, easy. Come unto him. Just as Samson came unto him. You know, the world probably looked at Samson and said, man, that's a disgrace. And yes, he messed up. Yes, he did. Oh, you are correct. But God can take something that's messed up and rework it and make it okay. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. So people, this week, go to God constantly. Take up his yoke. Let him do what he wants to do, because he says it is easy and light. God bless you. You may stand, please. Amen, amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise and honor, Lord God. We give you praise and honor, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for today, Lord. Before we close, I want to be sure, as every head is bowed for just a minute or so, every eye closed, do you know Jesus this morning? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? If you have not, would you please raise your hand and we can pray with you so that you can accept him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Remember, Jesus loves you. Loves you. And remember, Jesus takes everybody where they are and does what he needs to do. Praise God. Well, amen. Everybody's okay. Good. Father, we just thank you for your people, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is upon their hearts and upon their lives this day. Father, I pray that you would be with them, that you would help them to do your will this week. Encourage them, be with them, and help them, Lord God, to do your will. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate you guys. We thank God for you and love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you.